Hello, and welcome to our second podcast outlining how to practice our method of self-inquiry. In our previous podcasts, we explained how to use the method by oneself effectively. We also shared our belief that nothing can take the place of the dynamic engagement between two or more using the method. We also listed the most common obstacles which might arise while practicing the method, as well as points to keep in your awareness of how to maximize the benefits of the exercise. In this podcast, we will explain how to practice and use the breath and sitting attention from our previous podcasts as guides during the exercise. If you have not yet listened to our podcast on breathing and sitting, please listen to them before proceeding. Otherwise, you may find it confusing to continue with the exercise in this podcast. As a brief review of the breathing podcast, we mentioned the importance of being aware and using the breath as a guide and a tool to assist us in the process of self-inquiry. We also spoke of heart coherence and how to use the breath to create and enable a state of heart coherence. We discussed timed breathing of between 5 to 6 breaths per minute, plus minus, depending on each person, as the optimal rate for moving into coherence. Why would we want to try to be in heart coherence while practicing the exercise of self-inquiry? As we discussed in the previous podcast, when one practices on one's own, there are many deep-rooted beliefs, emotions, feelings, and preconceptions which may be already active or activated by the practice of self-inquiry. For the practice to be effective and of benefit to the one practicing, it is essential that one becomes or is aware of all the possible influences that these mental processes might be exerting. Similarly, our sitting practice instructed us how to calm our mind and then bring our attention to various parts of our body, such as the top of the head, or our lower back, or our hands and feet. Physical changes, sometimes subtle, sometimes more obvious, are often indications that something deeper is occurring in our minds, be it feelings or thoughts. This can then assist us in recognizing possible habit patterns of response to the subject we are working with in the inquiry. Together with the breathing, we have two very good tools for heightening our awareness and attention to our responses on several levels to the processes we are engaged in. This not only applies to the method of self-inquiry, which we are sharing, but also, in fact, to any activity, mental or physical, that one finds oneself engaged in. If we have no tools to help us become aware, the whole practice could become like a dog chasing its tail. The dog's mind doesn't know that the faster it tries to catch the tail, the faster it escapes its grasp. Let us begin. In our previous podcast on breathing, we discussed the idea of heart coherence. The origins of heart coherence research can be traced back to the Institute of Heart Math Organization, a research group located on the west coast of the U.S. in the early 1990s. The research focus of the time was on investigating the physiological effect of both positive and negative emotional states on the body. At that time, there was very little research, if any, on the physiological effect of positive emotions on the body. Through the studies, it was revealed that not just emotions and the heart, but the whole body can attain a state of coherence through certain breathing techniques. They are not difficult and can be practiced quite easily. And again, I refer you to the Heart Math Institute website, where they share and teach the methods freely. What became evident was that upon entering into a state of coherence, all the physiological functions appeared to synchronize with each other, and the one experiencing them would become calmer, happier, more at ease, more present, and more in the flow. When pursuing knowledge of self and discovery of one's real nature and true heart, the state of coherence is very helpful for two main reasons. The first, one is more relaxed and more receptive to a broad range of thoughts and ideas. The second, one is more alert to the changes in this relaxed state and therefore more able to notice when certain questions generate activity or reactivity and discomfort while one is practicing self-inquiry. This is very good for the practice on both points, the first for progress and the second to avoid falling into feeling mind traps, which are present in all of us from unhealthy habitual patterns of perceiving the world. In our podcast on breathing, we suggested a rhythm of 5 breaths per minute, which means 12 seconds per breath, or a 6-second inhale and a 6-second exhale. However, this is only a guideline to start from. Different people will have slight variations in the number of breaths and rhythm, which allows them to move in coherence. For example, when I practice, I use an inhale to the count of 3, hold for 1, exhale for 3, and hold for 1. This is a 5 breaths per minute pattern. Here is a 1-minute sample of that rhythm. This is from an app called Universal Breathing Pranayama by Sagara Apps. I have used them for many years and tried others, but keep returning to this one. It can be adjusted for pace of breathing, time of practice, guide sounds, and several more functions. The website link is at the end of the transcripts. And just for notice, our suggestions for resources are solely based on our own experience, and we have no connection, compensation, or return in any form from any of the sources we mention here. With the breathing, we can add our sitting awareness. Once we are settled into a comfortable breathing pattern, we can begin to put our attention to various parts of our body. First to the head, then to the lower back, and then to the hands, followed by the feet. Then to our abdomen and our shoulders. Pause for 20 to 30 seconds to become aware of the area. Once we have sensed the various areas, we return our awareness to our breathing pattern and perhaps the passage of air at the nose. And with this as preparation, we can begin our session. We will now begin a practice session using the breathing and body awareness as aids in our awareness. Please make sure you have listened to the previous podcast on breathing and sitting and self-inquiry, or you may find yourself a bit lost in the practice. Please find a comfortable position where your spine is aligned and you are at ease. It can be cross-legged on the floor or a cushion, or in a comfortable but aligned chair, or even lying down for someone who has difficulty sitting for long periods. If you are lying down, please do so on a firm surface so that your spine remains in alignment. Close your eyes, place your tongue against the roof of your mouth, and breathe through your nose. Take 2 or 3 deep breaths to relax, and then begin paying attention to the passage of the air through your nose, at your nostrils, inside your nose, or across the upper lip. Do this in a relaxed and easy manner. If you notice you are straining to feel something, then release and relax and just pay attention to what you feel. Allow the sensation to come to you rather than you go to the sensation. I will now play the breathing rhythm in the background. It is set on the 3-1-3-1 count, which I mentioned earlier, as this rhythm is exactly 5 breaths per minute. Inhale for 3, hold for 1, exhale for 3, hold for 1. However, if you find yourself breathing a little faster or a little slower, that is okay. We will now begin the breathing with the sound accompaniment while we pay attention to different parts of our body. Let us begin. First, put your attention to the top of your head. Pay attention to any sensation you may have there. Just note it. Then put your attention to your lower back. Note any temperature changes, any other sensations you might have. And now put your attention to your hands. Sense the palms, sense the fingers. And from your hands, move your attention to your feet. Feel your toes, your heel, the sole of your feet. Now bring your attention to your lower abdomen. Do you notice any kind of contraction? Is it rising and falling with your breathing? Is everything comfortable? And now bring your attention to your chest. Do you sense your lungs expanding and contracting with each breath? Can you feel your heart? And now bring your attention to your shoulders. Are they relaxed? Are they tense? Does it feel like they're contracting or the muscles are relaxing? Now bring your attention to your neck. What is the sensation of connection between your shoulders and your head? Does it feel like it is moving openly, or is there some kind of blockage? Are your neck muscles tightening, or are they relaxed? Again, at each location, note any sensations which arise. Just note and do not judge. Once you are finished, return to awareness of the breath at the nostrils. Great. Continue breathing and paying attention as you have, and I will read to you the selection we are going to use in our practice inquiry. Our selection is a quote from the author Paulo Coelho, and it is, "How people treat other people is a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves." I will repeat, "How people treat other people is a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves." You've heard the quote, so firstly pay attention to your breathing. Did it change upon hearing the selection? Did it increase or decrease in speed, depth, or comfort level? If so, how and when? Then begin a quick scan of the body locations we visited before, while keeping the quote in mind. How people treat other people is a direct reflection of how they feel about themselves. Do you notice any change in sensation, temperature, comfort level, or muscular tension? If so, note them. We will continue with our self-inquiry practice as we go through the analysis. Try while listening to note any changes in the breath or physical sensations which may arise while we do. Note when and where they occur. You may want to even keep a notebook as to which words or phrases or aspects of the inquiry stimulate these changes. It can be very informative about ourselves and how we process perceptions. On to our first question. What is the subject of the quote? Is it how people treat other people, or is it how they feel about themselves? Or might it be how people are reflections of each other? In fact, we can choose any of the three to be our main direction of inquiry. Did you have any sensations or breath changes as I suggested the three options? Note them if you did. Let's decide that the subject of the quote is actually how people feel about themselves. Once again, did you experience any sensations or breath changes as I suggested the subject? Note them if you did. Our second question, how did we arrive at our decision? Perhaps because in the structure of the sentence, we see that oneself is treating other people and the reflection is of how one feels about themselves. So in both the first and second part of the sentence, oneself is the subject of discussion. Thus, we are arriving at this through our linguistic rulebook, so we now need to keep an open mind that our thoughts will be influenced by all the factors that have contributed to how we use our language. Once again, as you were listening and considered what you heard, did you note any changes in your breathing or physical sensations in your body, anywhere? If so, note them. Our third question, why do we think that the quote is about how one feels about oneself? As discussed in our previous podcast, the third question is where we begin to delve deeper into our reasoning and perspectives. It is often more difficult and can sometimes give rise to controversy when addressed. In our quote we just mentioned, we determined first the what. The quote is about how people feel about themselves. Then the how. We arrived at that through the structure of the sentence. Now we arrive at the why, and this opens several doors to different possible paths of consideration. One such path could simply be answered by stating that everything one experiences hinges on one's perception, so it has to be about how one feels about oneself. Or another path could be the significance of feeling as a priority over thought or intellectual consideration. And since the quote refers to feeling about oneself, then we arrive at the position that the quote is about how people feel about themselves. And a third possible path could be the reasoning that since we are all part of a unified universe and interdependent, then any action is automatically reflexive, and thus treating another would be treating oneself. And thus how we feel about ourselves would be how we treat others. The discussion can now revolve around three possibilities, just mentioned, or more which can maybe perceived. This can be done within oneself in an inner dialogue, or can also be done with others, either freeform or guided. And as was already mentioned, no matter how skilled one is at the outset, practicing from any recorded material, print, sound, or visual, can never replace a real live dialogue. At this point, you can relax your breathing. It is important to emphasize that this process is not expected to provide one with answers or truths, but rather through the questions it poses and the follow-up dialogue, internal or external, it allows one to uncover the process of reasoning that one goes through. The clearer, more direct, and stripped down the perceptions become, the more direct the experience and the closer to one's inner core, or what we call one's true heart or heart-mind, a common translation for the Chinese term of Xin, or Greek term nous, which is a term from classical philosophy for the faculty of the human mind necessary for understanding what is true or real. Eventually, with improved skill and practice, one will be able to go deeper, know oneself, and become more aware in the present. This will lead to increased contentment, fulfillment, and happiness in life. Additionally, one's relationship, not only within oneself, but with those around one, will also improve as greater wisdom is realized. Sounds like a big promise, yes, but you will only know if it works if you try it and stick with it. I hope that this has been a clear and coherent guidance for the practice. If you have any further questions, please let us know at info@path-2-wisdom.org. In the following future podcasts, we will also offer online forums and prepare guided opportunities to be put into practice of what we have just explained. Until then, try the exercise at home on any subject or experience. Do it in a relaxed manner and don't expect too much at first, nor for it to be that easy. Print out the transcripts and you can review the quote and you can review the process and experiment on your own until you feel comfortable. And if while experimenting you feel that certain questions arise, please do email us. Here it is important that I add that all of the content that we present on the PathToWisdom.org website, including written text, photographs, videos, and graphics, as well as any other resources we might include, is meant to educate and it should not be perceived as substitution for a professional medical advice or a diagnosis or treatment. You should not resort to the website information to arrive at a diagnosis or treatment solution for health problems or various medical conditions. It does not, nor is it intended to replace medical care provided by a medical specialist. You are responsible for your own health and well-being. If you are currently in poor health, physically or mentally, or suffering from any pre-existing conditions, it is always a good idea to discuss with your attending physician before following any recommendations. Willing participation is at your free will, and in acknowledgement that nothing is meant to serve as diagnosis, treatment, or prevention solutions for different medical conditions. Thank you very much for your listening and your time, and we wish you a very good day, a good night, and a good life. Until next time.